started talking yesterday about the counting of the Elmer and what that meant. I want to go through, there's a jillion different interpretations of what the counting of the Elmer is.
What does that word Elmer mean?
An Elmer is an amount of wheat or barley.
A measure.
A measure. Now, so what I've, this is a Jewish interpretation of what the count is and what each one of the days are. This guy is a Christian, so he's added the New Testament versions for what this 49 gates of impurity are. But this is a common one. A lot of modern Jews use this. It comes from this thing called the The Sayings of Our Fathers. It's a teaching on character development. And so each of the days of the count are connected with some aspect of character development from a Jewish standpoint. So I'm going to just give you a few of them. We may go through all 50. Day one is study. Day two is attentive listening. Day three is orderly speech. Day four is understanding. Five is intuitive insight. Six is awe. Seven is reverence. Eight is humility. Nine is joy. 10, purity. 11 is attendance on scholars. 12 is the debate with scholars, or colleagues, excuse me. 14 is discussion with students. 15 is deliberation. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. And it's all about character development. And it's just, it makes me crazy when I read this stuff, that it's the idea that you're going to be able to be better. By certain things, you will get to be better. It's trying to make the Antichrist into something that's worthy of giving importance to. And so I can't even read this stuff because I get so mad I just want to burn it. Because it's so obvious that it's the opposite. I mean, it's not character development. That's the whole meaning of the cross. The character can't be developed. You can teach somebody to be a better actor or actress. So what are the end of these 49 gates of impurity? There's a lot of them, I believe, that are individual. That's why the individual has to count. It's not a community thing. Each individual has to do the count. But the things that are, you know, everybody wants, that's what they would be. So it's not 49 gates of impurity, it's 49 gates of getting what you want from God. And so we could go through things. Everybody wants health. So that would be a good thing. Everybody wants enough money to be independent. That will be a good thing. So wealth and health, and everybody wants justice, hates oppression. So you can go down the list. But the 49 gates of impurity are coming out of every one of those things that you think are good, of the desire for health, of the desire for wealth, I mean of money, of the desire for some kind of justice. I mean, it goes on down. Each of those 49 gates are something that you think is good. And probably, and many of them are universal. Everybody thinks it's good. And then there's part of them, the latter ones, are the ones that are unique to your character that you think are good. So that you come before the Father on Pentecost, empty, as an empty vessel that only he can fill. And only he has the character. Only he can do these things. But that's the meaning of the cross. Does everybody, can we talk? Let's have a dialogue here.
You can look at each one of those two ways, as you can with most biblical things. You can look at it as Christ's character, or if you want to study his sense of justice, or if it's not me-centered, then you're looking on him.
At his attributes.
And see his attributes.
Yeah, but you have to, the whole point of it is you have to get rid of yours before his are manifest.
Well, perhaps by looking at his, yours go away. When we see him, we'll be like him, because we see him as he is.
Yeah, but you don't see him unless there's repentance.
Well, same fight.
It's always the same.
Yeah. I don't personally think either one of us are wrong on this. It's just a matter of maybe we just like to fight.
Repentance is the basis of everything. But I'm going to go ahead and read these, the rest of these, so you can just see what.
And with just Doc, if you start to throw it across the room, or light a fire, stop yourself.
The ninth, the eighth one was humility. The ninth gate is joy. The tenth gate is purity. 11 is attendance and scholars. Anyway, debate with colleagues and discussion with students. Debate with colleagues, and then deliberation, then knowledge of the scriptures, then moderation in business affairs, then moderation in worldly affairs, then moderation in pleasure, then moderation in sleep, then moderation in conversation, then moderation in frivolity, then patience, then good-naturedness, then trust in the sages, then uncomplaining acceptance of suffering, then knowing his place, then is content with his lot in life, then limits his words, then does not claim credit for his achievements, is beloved, loves God, loves mankind, loves acts of charity, loves straightforwardness, loves admonition, shuns honor, is not conceited with his learning, does not delight in dictating decisions, shares the burden of his fellow man, judges him favorably, directs him to truth, directs him to peace, is composed in his learning, asks pertinent questions and answers to the point, listens and adds to his hearing, studies in order to teach, studies in order to practice, increases the wisdom of his teachers, notes accurately what he's learned, quotes a thing in the name of the person who said it.
That's like that Bill, what's his name?
No plagiarism.
No plagiarism.
I forget that evangelist who just came up with reams of books of how to be a Christian.
Oh, they're all of them. But the point of this is...
Bill Cawthorn.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but this is the opposite from my understanding of the cross. This has an interesting predicate. This look assumes free will. And it assumes that you get better with discipline and with exhortation. But everything in the New Testament, the purpose of it is not to try to do it, that's impossible, but to repent when you see you're not doing it. Now, that's why, again, I keep going back to it, repentance is the key to everything. Not repentance of the world, but repentance of leaving you behind, all of you. Now, we've got to get down here to the point of the things about you and opinions you have that you think are good, that are keeping you from the fullness of God. Now, the question I have to you is, if this is the case, find me a scripture that justifies your that position.
Justifies what?
Holding on to something, that one of these things that you think is good.
What about think on these things, if they think be good or true?
That's him. He's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, you read that two ways, same thing. Oh, I'm going to think on things that are good. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
How's that worked out for you?
I've tried it lately.
How'd it work out for you when you tried it?
I couldn't get very far with it, actually.
Well, of course not. Your mind isn't built to do that. Well, I don't want to do that. I want us to see how much of our persona is based on other people's ideas of what we should be, and how much we have co-opted that. Rejected some, taken this and taken that, until we've developed this being called us, called you, called me. It's so fundamental that it is the core of our existence. But the name of that existence, no matter what you have on it, no matter what pictures you've drawn on it, or images, or purposes, the name of that person is sin. That's his name. And that's your name. Because it's the name of the person that's been masquerading as you. Now, unless you believe that, then nothing about the cross and nothing about what I teach can be valid. Otherwise, you will automatically twist what somebody says or what the scriptures say as an instrument to continue your existence. You'll pick and choose, but yet you sit in judgment. Remember what we studied yesterday, the purpose. Let's go back to Genesis 3.
I have a question here. Is there a pattern? I mean, this guy gave it a shot, tried to do the 49 gates, but he pulled those out of his ear or something.
No, they were from a book that's written, the sayings of our fathers. That's a Hebrew book. That's a compilation of, you know, it's just another, it's just somebody else's opinion.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. When the counting of the Omer started, what was it that initiated this count?
The scriptures. It's your order to count.
Well, so we just start counting? I mean, that doesn't address the question.
Well,
is there a pattern that we look at to see what the count is? Forget this.
No, there isn't.
We have no pattern.
No.
Nothing to look at. We just count every day.
No, but you count with a purpose. You count vis-a-vis something. There's something that, there's a gate of impurity there. Boom. That's the 49 gates.
All right, so each person could write their own book.
Well, each person has the opinions about it. Now, some of the opinions of what you think are good, again, if you don't accept that the predicate of the 49 gates of impurity are everything that you think is good, then we have another issue.
Well, that's accepted.
Okay.
So we go on from there.
Okay, if you accept that, then by definition, probably half of the 49 gates are common to each one of us, at least.
I would bet that a lot of the 49 points that this guy wrote are the things that we think are good.
Right.
And so they're, instead of
They don't, they're not coming out of anything.
Right, they're not got it totally wrong rather than coming
out
of
it. Well, it's no, I mean, he got onto moderation and then he couldn't think of sort of moderation, a whole bunch of stuff. No, I mean, I'm not, hear me. Without exception, every one of us would like peace. Every one of us hates oppression. Every one of us wants health. Every one of us wants justice. Every one of us wants fairness. Every one of us wants, you know, we could go on ad nauseum. But at some point, that list of things that are common that we would never in our wildest dreams think are gates of impurity or something that we think is good, then there are those that are unique to you. Now my one, for instance, I mean, I literally, as a believer, from the moment I became a believer, my mind said that I wanted to go live in a cave or go live alone out in the desert. That's a gate of impurity to me.
The impure word part is that it negates God.
It keeps it from being holy.
Yeah.
Remember, it's something other than salt in the salt shaker.
Yeah.
The only thing you're created for is to contain Jesus Christ, not to contain the God of this world, is who you have. Every man has been, that's why Jesus called the Jews that believed in him, you are of your father the devil.
So every opinion is...
Every opinion that you have is of the evil one.
Yeah, but it causes him, or we're trying to bring our self into his perfection, and that's impure, and it can't happen.
All right, that's why we must repent. From each one of the 49 gates must carry with it, it was obvious, that a degree of repentance until at the end of the count, you're an empty vessel. So that the fullness of him that you can receive. You already have it because it's already been, but this is the exercise.
Yeah.
What? Is there something going on? All right.
Are you thinking of your thoughts?
Probably thinking I'm crazy again.
Well, this is all part of the question that I don't feel really is answered yet. So, and unless the answer is there is no pattern, there is no structure, there is nothing to follow. Throw ourselves into the count and see what happens.
Well, everything that we think is good from a scriptural standpoint is defined as gold. That we want to, it's a good thing. Now. But the scriptures say that if you esteem anything that the world esteems, it's abomination. And everything that's in that cup of the whore of Babylon is something that we think is good. Otherwise, the cup wouldn't be gold. So the pattern of what to me, the pattern is, it becomes tautological, it's obvious that everything, if this count has to do anything, its purpose is to cause us to be empty vessels, totally empty, on the Feast of Pentecost. Because that's the date, or the day, and again, we're celebrating these in type, that's the day that the seed of Christ was shed on all men. And so the things we've covered, the cross has dealt with everything that we think is bad. Now the counting of the omer is dealing with what we think is good, which are keeping us. Every one of us thinks health is good. Every one of us thinks that having enough money that you don't have to think about it is good. I mean, we would do. Every one of those things, justice is good. Everyone going down the line. But we can show in the scriptures where every one of those things that we think are good, the first century disciples lived the opposite. Well, and he's not only that, but when he said the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, that meant that there's nothing about him, Paul, that the world would admire. So by definition, there's nothing about him and character traits in him that he would admire. I mean, I think independence is the most important one. But God says that's the worst one. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
We all were constructed to think, we think philosophically about all, but we think specifically about me and mine. So there'll be a philosophical all that we all agree to. But there is a me and mine that may be unique to me. But each one of them are a gate of impurity. I hate silence. That's why I love having the debate, the interchange.
That's why the uniqueness of each one, and we all have the same exact motivator.
Of course.
And so, in the grand sense, we're each filling up the afflictions, which are many, which are vast.
We're only filling up the affliction when there's repentance. If we personalize the affliction and say, I want to get out of it, then the affliction isn't, we're not filling up the affliction of Christ. We're trying to get better.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point, I think, in your need for sharing. It's, if we don't see it, if we talk and there's no response, it's like screaming down a well or something.
Well, it's spiritual masturbation is what it is. Okay, first let me ask this. If you disagree with any of the stuff about the 49 gates, please speak up. If there's some part of it that we don't understand, that you don't understand, please speak up. I beg of you. So then by your silence, you agree with everything, and there's nothing about it that you don't understand.
Well, my question is still not answered.
Pattern?
Summary, you don't seem to understand what I'm asking. Is there anything from the beginning of this that the guys sat around and said, hey, here's a list of the 49 gates, the first gate's this, the second gate's that?
That's what I just gave
you. Just like that guy tried to do, but he's not...
No, this is from ancient times.
It's a tradition.
This is his ancient. These are ancient ones. That's what the saying of the fathers was.
So that goes back as far as we can go to see what they thought the gates were. About.
What most of the Jews thought the gates were.
Okay.
And I'm saying
Jews,
they're wrong.
Were there any Jews that thought?
I have no idea.
You're saying they're
the
wrong.
Gates of impurity were the.
I'm saying that the gates of impurity, they're, they are, if they're saying these are their gates of impurity, there's, these aren't impurities from their standpoint. They're betterment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because of the cross and the way we see it, it's a whole different thing.
Right.
So you probably can't have a list necessarily.
Well, if there is, I don't know what, I've never heard of one.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard anybody say a lot of things we say.
You have a Zohar.
Yeah.
I have a sense that this is in the Zohar.
Well, the 49 gates of impurity are. But they're not identified. And I think they're not identified. Again, you gotta hear this. We're there may be a handful of Christians in the world that are talking about what we're talking about.
See, my question is, is it pure? It's like, it's as if I need a list.
Well, are you need? Here's what I got a kick out of this one. It's that one of them was. You only quote a thing, in the name of the person that said it first. And that's why the Talmud, the Zohar, even is full of and whatever they're said, according
oh, yeah.
they're justified by according to Rabbi X Y Z, son
Rabbi
of Ben.
Rabbi Eliezer said, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't do that because I don't have anybody that says what I say. That's why it's so controversial. I don't have anybody that ever said that we are the Antichrist. I don't have anybody that ever said that the 49 gates of impurity are everything that you like. I don't know anybody else that says that every feast day has a major thing happen to Christ's life. I don't know anybody else that says that eternity is no time. So I can't quote anybody. Yet that's the 50th one, the most important.
What's the 50th?
The one I just said.
Well, that was the last one.
Yeah. Quote, if you're going to quote something, quote a thing. It says, quote the thing and the name of the person who said it. And that, again, that's why it's so, to me, that book is boring, wherever it is. Because it's just a scholarly excuse for becoming lukewarm. No, this is, I mean, I hate this. Forgive me for sounding like this, but I know. I've tested it by every scripture. I spent all the years studying, and it's not a matter of an opinion. Now that sounds arrogant. It might be, but it's a what is. I don't have just two witnesses or three, I have five before I said something.
Is this the disciples or the 120 or whatever between Passover and Pentecost when it happened?
They counted the Omer.
That's what they were doing.
That minor feast of Lag Ba'Omer, that's when Christ ascended to the Father. But for 40 days, for 40 of the days of the count, Christ was with him. Which is pretty amazing. And the reason he wasn't there for the last 10 of the count was because they had to go to Jerusalem to be there 10 days before the feast, so they could be cleansed with the ashes of the red heifer for being with a dead body. Because according to the law, Jesus was dead. Yeah, they weren't brave individuals.
Yeah.
There was a price on their head, and they were trying to hide out in the tent in the temple among the crowd.
Right.
Okay. And yet, above each of the 120, they weren't all together. They were trying to dress and just be And what happened? God opened time above the head of each one of them, and they saw the flaming sword of the cherubim as protecting anything from going into the garden, or the Garden of Eden and the New Jerusalem are the same thing. And that's another story. But so there was nothing brave about them. They were two-bit disciples. But please, if you don't agree with me, please have the courage to say something. Otherwise, you're just bumping along, sitting there, sitting in judgment is what you're doing. All right, that's enough. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I do. You were towards the end of what you were saying. I know that I know. I've been there. I've tested. I.
Well, that's the only way it can be made manifest.
We're a body.
Well, I'm telling you, though, you're not teaching.
Well,
I'm telling you that.
Yeah, but we're not all the same. Some are teaching, you know.
I'm not asking you to be a teacher.
All right.
I'm asking you to. What I'm saying was, I don't have any doubt about any of this stuff.
All right.
No. And the reason I don't have any doubt is because I did what the Leighton Farrell, the Highland Park Methodist preacher, told me I had to do. He said, "You sound right, but you need more witnesses." And so that's what I did for all those 12 years of studying it. But there was another witness was needed, the body. So I mean,
we witness to the truth of that.
I understand, but I need feedback. I need to have you. This is not supposed to be a monologue.
But you don't want me to make up questions. That's stupid. I mean,
I don't want you to make up questions. But if there's the doubt, I mean, I can feel the doubt in the room.
Well, okay, I can't. So,
all right, take a big.